Are you intense enough? Am I intense enough? That's the question I've been asking myself for better part of the last 3 or 4 weeks. Question comes as a result of watching the ESPN documentary series entitled The Last Dance. Those of you not familiar with The Last Dance, it's, like I mentioned, it's running on ESPN currently, and it chronicles Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls dynasty run from 1991 to 1998. Now, I was only in that last year there when they won the last championship, 97-98 season, I was only 10, 11 years old. So what I remember is coming home after school on the nights that the Bulls played at 7 o'clock, we would eat, want to get my homework done as quick as possible, to be on the floor in the living room to watch the starting lineups and the Bulls play. I remember my brother and I on that Christmas morning, there wrapped was the shape of a shoebox, and we knew he got his Air Jordans, I got my Air Jordans. Everything was the Chicago Bulls. Everything was Michael Jordan. But because I was younger, I didn't know things behind the scenes. I didn't know the drama going on, the personalities, the conflicts. I didn't know wasn't privy to the reasons that went into why the Bulls were such a good team. So there's many takeaways in this series as I watch it. One of the more fascinating things that strike me as I'm watching The Last Dance is getting an in-depth look at the intensity of Michael Jordan. His intensity was second to nobody. Like the way he would push his teammates, he would nag at them, harp at them, yell at them, and practice to the point of even punching one of his teammates. The series points out that even his own teammates were afraid of him. To that point, they asked Jordan about his image, and Jordan said this: "My mentality was to go and win at all costs. If you don't want to live that regimented mentality, then you don't need to be alongside of me." Jordan's intensity is a large part of what made him so good. Jordan's intensity is a large part of what made his teammates better. His intensity is a large part of why the Bulls won 6 championships. Intensity. Christianity requires intensity. Are you, am I, intense enough to be a Christian? Like, you know, you can't say, well, you know, Father Mark, like, that's Jordan, like, I'm not really that intense of a person. Like, we're all intense with some things. We're all passionate for things. And just look at how, you know, as a culture and society is how intense we are with sports. You want to see intensity? Go to any football stadium on any Sunday, and there you can see intensity. You want to see intensity? Go back a couple years and watch me watching the Cubs in Game 7 of the World Series. I was intense. But it's not just watching sports. It's how we are with playing sports, how some push their bodies, how some take care of what they eat and to exercise. Good things. Intense with making sure that we don't miss our favorite TV show or series, whether it be The Last Dance or it be making sure we record or watch The Bachelor. We're passionate, we're intense towards things and good things. We can be incredibly intense and passionate towards things. But how intense are we to the most important things? And for Christians, that's God number one and family number two. So having intensity for those two things in that order, things fall into place. Not having intensity for those two things in that order, things crumble. We're not properly aligned. And so, how intense am I? in fostering my relationship with Jesus? How intense am I? Like, first to pause and to think about it. Ask ourselves, as of late, looking back the last few weeks, the last few months, how intense am I in seeking and making sure I get prayer time in? How intense am I with striving for holiness? How intense am I with keeping God number one? Jesus, in the very first verse of the gospel today we hear, he turns to his disciples, those that have already chosen to follow him, and he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Am I intense with keeping God's commandments? Does my intensity for God look anything like Michael Jordan's intensity for basketball? The world does a lot. It has a way of sucking our intensity for faith out of us. It has a way of draining our intensity towards our relationship with Jesus. The one who died for us on the cross, freeing us from sin and death. The world has a way of just sucking out the intensity we have for him. We have good intentions, but the pull is just really strong. Pope Benedict recently wrote, he said that he described today in the world there being an anti-Christian creed. So every week, whether we gather or just in a moment when we recite the creed, we do that every week as the reciting of what we believe. But Pope Benedict is saying the anti-Christian creed that's out there, society is constantly reading to us a creed, and it's not once a week. It's every day it's before us and saying, this is what you ought to believe. This is the way you should act. This is what you should, how you should live your life. And Benedict goes on to say, he says, society punishes anyone who resists that anti-Christian creed. He says that if you're to resist the anti-Christian creed that is read to us every single day, to us, to our families, if we're to resist the anti-Christian creed, we concede to the fact of being socially excommunicated by the world. And so with the anti-Christian creed that is so strong and that coupled with a lack of intensity, the default position is a soft Christianity, of which we've talked about before, where I'm a Christian by name only. I don't really have a prayer life. I never open up the scriptures to read it. But it's hard to live intense. It's hard to live intensely. It's hard to live intense Christianity. It can't be done alone. We need help. Over and over again, just this past week, the last 7 days of talking with parishioners of the struggle and really feeling the separation from rubbing shoulder to shoulders with people like-minded, coming together and gathering with other Christians. A large part of that is because what we're experiencing right now is not natural to human beings. In a lockdown or a lockdown. Like normally in times of crisis, we seek out other human beings for commonality. In times of crisis, we want to say, like, here's what I'm struggling with. Like, here's what I'm struggling with my family right now. Here's what I'm struggling with the lockdown. People that I can find solidarity with, but especially people who think like us, like other Christians who are like-minded, who are trying to strive to put God number one. Who are trying to strive to keep family number two. Like during 9/11, what happened after that, the tragedy of 9/11? The churches were packed after 9/11. We can't do that now. We can't gather. Like-minded people can't come together now in church to gather. And so we've been waiting, you know, talking about launching what we're calling grow groups. And we've been kind of talking about waiting for the return, for you all to return to start these groups. But just this conviction that we have is that we can't wait any longer. So we're going to start now these grow groups because we're not sure when. Sure, you know, we're hoping that the church doors will open here soon with the news from our bishops working with the governor. But even the next time that we're able to gather for groups in the PLC, we don't know. And so we need we want to create an opportunity for us to gather, to rub shoulders with people who are striving to keep God number one, striving to keep family number two. And so we're just going to begin next Sunday, immediately following Mass, is to start gathering in groups. You can register for that and find more details about that online on our website. The other thing, number two, right? God number one, family number two, how the anti-Christian creed is kind of sucks the intensity out of us. The other aspect, the second one is family. For us to ask ourselves, what kind of intensity do I have with being intentional with my family? Many of us are getting more time with family right now in the lockdown. Hopefully it's making us realize, man, you know what? I didn't live in intensity with putting family number two prior to the lockdown. Maybe, hopefully we can realize that I let so many other things get in the way of putting family number two. Running around, different activities, good things, but how did they get in between and wedge from God number one to family number two? I'm talking to a lot of families right now, and some families are thriving in the lockdown, but a lot of families are struggling. I just read the other day that divorce attorneys across the country are seeing a spike in phone calls to their offices inquiring about divorces. So a New York divorce attorney said, "We are fielding calls right now from people who are tired of being in the same house with each other. Financial stress combined with confinement is also pushing some marriages to a legal and physical breaking point." I was talking to a police officer last week, mentioned the increased calls for domestic violence. As we discussed before, and we stress here, that the core of family life, the thing that is being most threatened to divide and conquer family life, is marriages. And we made a very conscientious decision as a pastoral team here at Our Lady of Mercy to help marriages more, to provide marriage enrichment opportunities for marriages. We had a nice little momentum going with having some marriage enrichment opportunities, but with the lockdown, we couldn't have our third one already planned. We want to provide those opportunities now online. Beginning next Friday, we're going to run 7 consecutive courses online for you and your spouse. After Mass, you can see a little trailer for that that we'll play. For the end goal is to increase your intensity towards your marriage, realizing that it's under attack with the anti-Christian creed that's out there. It wants to attack marriages, to increase our intensity towards it. Christianity requires intensity. And because the anti-Christian creed is so strong, the pull is so strong, it takes intensity to keep God number one and family number two. It takes intensity to follow the commandments as Jesus tells us in the beginning of the gospel today. It's important to realize that I cannot do it alone. I need help. And the ultimate help, as marriage course will help, as the, you know, gathering together shoulder to shoulder helps, the ultimate help is what we're preparing for in a couple weeks for Pentecost, is what our gospel Jesus goes on to say after he says, "Love, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments." He then says, here's the help in verse 16. "The Father will give you another advocate to be with you always." Who's the advocate, or what is the advocate? What does he do? The paraclete. He's the helper. He's one that comes and stands at the side, literally advocate, paraclete, one who advocates on our behalf to the Father. Jesus goes on to say, "I will not leave you orphans." It's easy for us to feel when times are tough that we've been left orphaned, that God just gets up and leaves. God does not just get up and leave. The Lord is saying, "Are you struggling? Call upon me. Ask for help." The advocate is the one who hears the cry and stands before the Father. So leading up to Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, he wants to help. For us this morning, right now, during the prayer of communion, as we have a moment for silence right now, turn to God. Lord, I need help. I need help to get back on the ball, to increase my intensity for you. My intensity has decreased, and I know it, and I want to get it back. The church needs Christians who are intense, and that does not mean one that does not fall and does not fail and is without sin, that does not struggle to follow the commandments. It means one who is quick to call upon the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, for help. So let us be Christians who have a Michael Jordan intensity for keeping God number one and family number two.